This recording, Massachusetts 7, is copyright the International Dialects of English Archive. Comma Gets a Cure is copyright Douglas N. Onroff, Jill McCullough, and Barbara Somerville.
Well, here's a story for you. Sarah Perry was a veterinary nurse who had been working daily at an old zoo in a deserted district of the territory, so she was very happy to start a new job at a superb private practice in North Square near the Duke Street Tower. That area was much nearer for her and more to her liking. Even so, on her first morning, she felt stressed. She ate a bowl of porridge, checked herself in the mirror, and washed her face in a hurry. She put on a plain yellow dress and a fleece jacket, picked up her kit, and headed for work. When she got there, there was a woman with a goose waiting for her. The woman gave Sarah an official letter from the vet. The letter implied that the animal could be suffering from a rare form of foot and mouth disease, which was surprising because normally you would only expect to see it in a dog or a goat. Sarah was sentimental, so this made her feel sorry for the beautiful bird. Before long, that itchy goose began to strut around the office like a lunatic, which made an unsanitary mess. The goose's owner, Mary Harrison, kept calling, "Comma, Comma," which Sarah thought was an odd choice for a name. Comma was strong and huge, so it would take some force to trap her, but Sarah had a different idea. First she tried gently stroking the goose's lower back with her palm, then singing a tune to her. Finally, she administered ether. Her efforts were not futile. In no time, the goose began to tire, so Sarah was able to hold on to Comma and give her a relaxing bath. Once Sarah had managed to bathe the goose, she wiped her off with a cloth and laid her on her right side. Then Sarah confirmed the vet's diagnosis. Almost immediately, she remembered an effective treatment that required her to measure out a lot of medicine. Sarah warned that this course of treatment might be expensive, either 5 to 6 times the cost of penicillin. "I can't imagine paying so much, but..." Mrs. Harrison, a millionaire lawyer, thought it was a fair price for a cure. So my parents were both born in the Boston area. My mom she's from Dorchester. She and her family grew up a few streets down from where I live right now with my parents. And my dad, he was born over in Everett, which is just a little bit north of here. I was born and raised in Dorchester. Technically, I was born in Quincy, but I've lived my entire life in Dorchester. I haven't spent any time outside of the Boston area. I've been to Europe probably once, but that's about it. And for high school, I mean, when I was young, I went to school in my neighborhood. I went to Catholic school, and then I went to private school in the suburbs, and that was different from where I grew up, just because, you know, people didn't live as close to each other and stuff. Right now, I am going to be a senior in college, and I am working on my thesis and just getting ready to enjoy my last year. In high school, my friends all lived in the suburbs where I lived in the city, and that was different because, you know, everyone, their houses were a lot bigger than mine was. They all lived in single-family houses and had big backyards, you know, with all kinds of, you know, dogs and cats and, you know, that type of thing. And my neighborhood is basically, you know, a lot of us live in 2 or 3 family houses, and you know, it's a lot of people living right on top of each other, so it's different, but nice. I like it. Also, what's different about living in the city as opposed to the suburbs, a lot of my friends who lived in the suburbs, their parents weren't from Massachusetts, whereas mine had grown up near me, and all of my aunts and uncles and cousins live, you know, within, some of them even within the same block as me. So it's fun, you know, walking around, you know, running into people. You know, I've been driving around in my neighborhood and definitely run into some of my younger cousins driving their bikes in the middle of the street, almost hitting them and then yelling at them for it. But yeah, that's, you know, family life in an urban neighborhood, I guess. So yeah, I was saying about my accent. Even though I've always lived basically in the same house my whole life, you know, when I went to school out into the suburbs and all that stuff, where I definitely, you know, I stuck out like a sore thumb. And so I would, you know, I still even, it's weird now. I definitely, you know, picked up, you know, a lot of the R's and stuff like that. And even now, it's weird because I find myself when I'm in, talking to someone I don't really know, or if it's, you know, a person of authority or something like that, or if I'm addressing, you know, a group of people or something, I try really hard to, you know, use my R's and all that stuff. It's weird. It depends on, you know, the kind of person that I'm around, you know, where they're from and stuff like that. And even like a couple years ago, you know, when I first started dating my boyfriend, I spent so much time with him that, you know, he has, a different accent, but he was convinced that I was picking up the accent that, that he had, and therefore, you know, his parents and his family's accent as well, you know, sort of, he thought it was like transmitted to me through him or something, but yeah.